Romans in the 5th chapter. I'll read verses 1 through 11 and then go back and we'll deal with chapter 2 and 3 this morning. Romans says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation or the atonement. We'll go back and look at these other scriptures. Anyway, in chapter 2, in the first chapter, we looked, he said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we talked about how that we have that peace with God because we've been justified. And we talked about what that justification meant. Took some time explaining what that meant. And as we go through this, we'll look at different things. We'll look at the peace with God. We'll look at his standing, our standing in grace in the second chapter. The third chapter, we'll talk about the hope in glory. Fourth chapter is receiving of divine love. Fifthly, our certain escape of divine wrath. And the sixth point would be the joy that we have in the Lord. So we have much to be thankful for when we talk about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, Paul now begins to describe that and tells what grace has done. He's talked mightily about works not being a way or an avenue to be saved, but now he talks about grace, and now he talks about what grace is doing so that we might understand. So the second chapter, he talks about access into that grace. Listen to what he says. He said, through whom, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, the second verse, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we need to understand what that access by faith is in. And he tells us, he said, used only twice elsewhere in the New Testament, and we'll get to those scriptures. This word also refers to the believer's access to God through Jesus Christ. What was unthinkable to the Old Testament Jew is now available to all who will come. And that took a while for some of the Jews to swallow, and a lot of them didn't swallow that. So let's look at that access in Ephesians in the second chapter. He talks about that. Ephesians chapter 2. Begin in verse 14. Get that right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, Christ is our peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished his flesh, the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we both now have access, the Jew and the Gentile, but they're very much fighting among themselves in the beginning, but Paul is now trying to settle them down and showing them that our peace is through one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us. If we've placed our faith in him, he's our Lord and Savior. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, we're brothers in Christ, and that means that we're one in Christ, and he talks about that a little more. He himself, he said, the emphatical indicates that Jesus alone is the believer's source of peace. The middle wall of partition, this alludes to a wall in the temple that partitioned off the court of the Gentiles from the areas accessible only to Jews. Paul referred to that wall as symbolic of the social, religious, and spiritual separation that kept Jews and Gentiles apart. And you'll find out later that Jerusalem was destroyed. Those walls were torn down. He's saying they're already torn down spiritually, but they'll see them physically torn down too. He said, abolished in his flesh the enmity through his death. Christ abolished Old Testament ceremonial laws, feasts, and sacrifices, which uniquely separated Jews from Gentiles. God's moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments and written on the hearts of all men, was not abolished, but subsumed or included in the New Covenant. However, because it reflects his own holy nature, one new man, Christ does not exclude anyone from coming to him, and those who are his are not spiritually distinct from one another. New translates a Greek word that refers to something completely unlike what it was before. It refers to being different in kind and quality. Spiritually, a new person in Christ is no longer Jew or Gentile, only Christians. And so he has a different name now for them. Quit calling yourselves, I'm a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Call yourselves Christian. That's what you are. And then the reconciliation, he was able to reconcile them both to God, as Jews and Gentiles are brought to God through Christ Jesus. They are brought together with each other. This was accomplished by the cross, where Jesus became a curse, taking God's wrath so that divine justice was satisfied and reconciliation with God was a reality. When Christ was on the cruel cross of Calvary, this is exactly what happened. He became sin for us, the one that knew no sin, and he took upon himself the full wrath of God, and because of that, we that are in him, that were chosen in him, we that in time will be born again, we'll never ever be separated from God again. We'll be forever with the Lord because of the sacrifice. It can never be unbroken. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. Then he said he preached peace. He said the Greek word for preached literally means to bring, to announce, bring or announce good news. And in the New Testament is almost always used of proclaiming the good news that sinners can be reconciled to God by the salvation which is through Jesus Christ. In this context, Christ, the one who himself is our peace, also announced the good news of peace to those that are far off, those that are near, that is, to the Gentiles and the Jews. Access by one Spirit to the Father. Now we talk about that access. No sinner has any right or worthiness in himself for access to God, but believers have been granted the right through faith in Christ Jesus' sacrificial death. That's the only way we can have access to God. The thousands of the Trinity belong to believers. The moment they receive Christ and the Holy Spirit presents them before the heavenly throne of God the Father, when they are welcome to come with boldness at any time, there's that access into that grace wherein the Bible says we stand, and it talks about it in another section also, talking about the very same thing. And so we see that access and how important that is. Now, it says that we can come with boldness, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Hebrews, we can boldly come before the throne of God and have peace in that very thing. As he's talking more about peace with God, he said, not a subjective internal sense of calm and serenity, but an external objective reality. God has declared himself to be at war with every human being because of man's sinful rebellion against him and his laws. But the first great result of justification is that the sinner's war with God is ended forever, according to Colossians 1, 2, and 22. We read that last week. Scripture refers to the end of the conflict as a person's being reconciled to God. That access, it says wherein we stand, this refers to the permanent, secure position believers enjoy in God's grace. See, these words are not just in here so that we can read them and guess at what they mean. They describe what they mean. When we stand in this grace, that not only means that we're standing for the glory of God, we're standing for his righteousness, we're standing defending the word of God and being Christians, but we stand in a permanent position. We'll always be standing in the grace of God, and that standing will put us before God in the standing of being justified before him also. He goes on and says, in hope of glory of God. Unlike the English word hope, the New Testament word contains no uncertainty. It speaks of something that is certain, but not yet realized. The believer's ultimate destiny is to share in the very glory of God, and that hope will be realized because Christ himself secures it. Without the clear and certain promises of the word of God, the believer would have no basis for hope. And look at Romans 15:4. That's what I was trying to find a while ago. I couldn't find it back there. 15:4. Listen to what he says there. He says, for whatever, in Romans 15, verse 4, he says, for whatever things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience of and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And he's talking about the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ when he said the believer would have no basis for hope without the clear and certain promises of the Word of God. So we find that to be a resting place for our souls when we think about that. Now we go to verse 3, and he begins talking about tribulations, and it goes on and adds on to each other. Listen to what he says in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And verse 4 says, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we see they're built upon one another. As we're being built up, or our holy faith is being built up, I think of this particular chapter as we think of we glory in tribulations. We run from tribulations most of the time. We don't glory in them. But we need to stop and remember that God has made us to be able to endure those tribulations. And so rather than whine when we get into them or try to run away from them or pray, God, hurry up and get this off me, which we do a lot of times, we need to stop and thank God. Thank you for this tribulation. It's going to make me better somehow or another. God's working his purpose and plan out. And so that's what he's talking about, glorying in our tribulations. God has a purpose for everything he does. Stuff doesn't just come to us just haphazardly. It comes through God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, before it ever gets to us. So it's a sanctified something that comes to us, and tribulation is one of those things. And so we glory, he says, in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now, if we're going to claim to be a child of God, one of the things that's going to have to be in our lives or manifest in our lives is what? Perseverance. We must have perseverance. So we read this scripture again, and we think of it in that sense, that God said that we were going to persevere to the end. And I get to thinking about it in that sense. I go back and I read this thing in a different light. I read it a lot closer. I pay a lot closer attention to what I'm reading, and I learn it, and I want to understand it more so I can understand that it's connected to my perseverance. If it's connected to my perseverance, it's connected to my salvation. So these are things he's talking about are in a person's salvation. These are some things that we're going to go through because of salvation. It's going to strengthen our perseverance. Perseverance, it says, is going to give us character, and character gives us that hope that he's talking about, not that wishy-washy thing, but the hope that Christ gives that fades not away. He says, now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we think and we read of what he says in the remainder of this fifth verse, and we think about what we have to go through to get to that, then we find that's not too big a deal if we're going to have the love of God being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We find that that's a great thing, and not much to go through when we look at it in the eternal sense. But what does it mean? We also glory in tribulations. Tribulations, a word used for pressure, like that of a press squeezing the fluid from olives or grapes. Here they are not the normal pressures of living, but the inevitable troubles that come to followers of Christ because of their relationship with him. That taught me a little something. I just thought it was just the regular tribulations that we come through. So we have a high, we have some more tribulations. When we're suffering for Christ, that's what this is right here. We're doing the difficulties that come with being a Christian, standing where you're supposed to be standing. That's when you get that kind of tribulation and suffering. And so he says that's the kind it is to remember that. Then he said this perseverance. He said such difficulties produce rich spiritual benefits. Perseverance, sometimes translated patience, this word refers to endurance, the ability to remain under tremendous weight and pressure without succumbing. And so that enables us to keep on keeping on. We don't fail. We don't fall away. We may fall, but we get up. We get up on our knees. Why? Because we're God's saints and we persevere. And we keep on and we keep on. And as we keep on, we find ourselves being strengthened more and more by the Holy Spirit. Strengthened and filled with his love. Filled with the love of God that's poured abroad in our hearts. Filled with the love that God has for us And we began realizing what he means when it said God sent his only begotten son into the world to die for us. We began really understanding what that means to us. And so we began embracing this and understanding why we have to go through all these different things. God is building us up into the people that he desires us to be. In that last part, when he's talking about that perseverance, there's another point or scripture, Colossians 1:2-23, I read last week, that talks about that. It says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard." So you see that what he's done for you, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, we will continue in the faith if indeed we are his, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. It means that we've been moved towards the hope of the gospel. And so we understand it more, and so we walk in it more to the glory of God. And as we glory in tribulation, as we find it producing in us perseverance, as we find it perseverance producing character in us, character, hope, we find this love of God that we desire to have. There's not one of us in here that doesn't desire to have the love of God. But it doesn't just flow through us all the time. We don't feel the love of God all the time. But here we find a section in the Word of God that tells us how the love of God can be manifest in us continually. And so as we think of that, we continue to think about what Paul is going to continue to teach us throughout the remainder of these chapters. God help us to understand the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, to his praise, honor, and glory.